Okay, so last time I was here, it was March 19th, and I think I told everyone that my niece Emma was in labor, having a baby right that day. And guess what? She had her baby the next day, long labor, but she had this baby, and it's a little boy, and they named him DJ, and I got to meet him on Easter, and he's beautiful, and he's perfect, and he's so tiny, and he's so vulnerable, and I just held that little baby in my arms, and I looked at him, and I was like, I see you. I'll just hold it. And I just looked in his eyes, and I'm saying, I see you. I see you, little DJ. I see you. And it's like, I think everybody can relate to these moments when, with a little baby, so innocent, so vulnerable, so open-hearted, hasn't done anything wrong, hasn't, you know, sworn or, you know, sinned or whatever, hasn't hurt your feelings. We see God in that little creature. But who is that little creature? That little creature grows up to be us. We were that. We were that at one time in our lives. Word vulnerable means to be exposed, to be open to the possibility of being hurt, either physically or emotionally. And I think that when we're little, we're naturally vulnerable because we don't know that there's anything to fear. We don't know that we can get hurt. So we're just open-hearted and loving and giving, and we love everybody. And, you know, as time goes on, we start building up the walls. We start covering up the real us because we don't want our feelings hurt, and we don't want anybody to hurt us in any way. And I think this goes on and on. Building up that armor, the older we get, the more experiences we have. You know, middle school is a time that we really start to say, oh, okay, well, I don't want to be myself. I got to be like everybody else, right? So you start like, you know, putting on a mask or whatever. You start aspiring to be something that you're not because you want to be accepted. Then you go to, you know, college, and you need to be accepted by the sorority or the fraternity or the group, you know, so that you can have friends. And then you go to get a job, and you have to be on your best behavior and wear a suit and do whatever for the interview, and you have to play the part. And as time goes on, you kind of forget who you are. And that's sad. It's sad. Yeah, what happened to that little baby that's there? We distance ourselves from people when we close up our vulnerability too. I think we fear having people see us as vulnerable because we equate being vulnerable with being weak. But that's not the truth. It's the exact opposite. When you're being vulnerable, you're being strong because you're allowing your true self to come forward. And I've learned from my own experiences that by being vulnerable, that's what actually gets us closer to people. Not by faking it, not by putting on the mask and the smiley face and being the perfect hostess and welcome, you know, by being real. Which is an interesting word, because in Vedanta, what is real is God. What is real is spirit. And what is unreal is everything else. The only thing that's real is God. So we want to be real. But you get closer to people because then you're allowing them to see you. So this I see you works both ways. We want to see people for who they really are, but it's good for people to see us as we really are. And I think we forget that sometimes. I know that one of the roles I played when I was a kid was big sister. So, you know, I had a divorced mom working all the time. I was the big sister. I took care of my little sister and my little brother. I took care of them. And I was the leader, and I was the strong one. And whenever there was a problem, I was like, lean on me, right? And they did. But then as they got older, they were kind of asking for the reverse, you know? And I was afraid to do that. I didn't want them to see me as weak. I didn't want them to see me as, you know, not the big sister, or that I needed any help. I was afraid, like, to ask for help, to see them, to have them see me. But I learned that as an adult, when I did ask for help, when I did let them be in, and I let them be the one that I could lean on, it brought us closer together. And it was so beautiful. It changed everything. And I think this is why God or the universe put us all on this planet together. You know, we're not here alone. We're here to learn from each other. We're here to help each other. We're here to grow together. We're here to experience things together and help each other through all that life throws at us. Because we're all going through the same thing, just maybe at different times and in different ways. But it's all the same thing. What is the antidote to fear? Love, courage, yes, but also faith and also knowledge. Faith in knowing that God's got your back. And when we say, lean on me, that's like, we can always lean on God. Always, always, always. Whatever that looks like for you, Krishna or Jesus or universal or whatever, we can always lean on God. That's the faith part. And the other part is knowledge, because it's knowing who you are. When you tap into that, when you know who you are, this is what Krishna says, when you know who you are, then you know that you have everything. And you know that this world is not about gaining anything. It's not about losing anything, because we have everything all the time. Everything. We come into this world as a little baby. What do we bring with us? We're naked. We're vulnerable. We got nothing. We got nothing. And how do we leave the world? Pretty much the same. All the stuff in between is just stuff that we accumulate. And it's not just material things. It's, you know, guilt or jealousy or desire. Why are we hanging on to this stuff? We don't need it. We don't need it. Pink, you know, the great singer Pink. I love quoting these singers because they're so relevant to today. She just said in an interview, people were asking, you know, how are you doing or whatever. And she said, you know what? I've come to the place now where I'm not just going to give you some small talk. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be real with you. She said, I want to do her stuff. She said that she's going to make a point to be honest with people. She said, being vulnerable is her life's work. She's come to that realization that being vulnerable is her life's work. And I love hearing that from a singer, because that's so insightful. And she writes her own songs too. And like Bill, writes his own songs. When a songwriter writes the songs, it comes from an inspiration. Inspiration means in spirit. It means divine. It comes from God. Okay? A singer gets, or a musician, a songwriter gets this inspiration because they're trying to deal with some pain or some emotion that they're trying to process this emotion. Whether it's grief or love or brokenheartedness or lonesomeness, whatever it is. The beauty of that process is that this song that the songwriter creates not only helps the songwriter get through that emotion, anyone who hears it is also gifted with that. It helps them process the pain. It helps them process whatever they're going through and to understand that they're not alone. That this is something that other people have gone through, and if they have gotten to the other side, then I can get to the other side. And that's really important because it shows, again, that two-way street. Lean on me and let me lean on you, please, you know? And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of life. When we say, oh, I see you, who is that I? I said this before. It's all the same I. I say I. Pam says I. Bill says I. Ralph says I. It's all the same I. In the Gita, Krishna says that if you are a spiritual person, don't worry about your worldly affairs. I will protect you. You go pursue your spirituality. Krishna says, I will protect you. There's nothing for us to fear. That's what he's saying. If you're a spiritual person, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. You're taken care of. When you see the animals out in the wild, of our city here, right? I have a good friend that said, I'm so worried about the squirrels. It's been raining and raining. This was Mary, who's not here today, but maybe she's watching on Facebook. Mary. I can relate. She's like, I'm so worried about the squirrels. It's been raining so hard. Where do they go? What do they do? And I said, Mary, you don't need to worry about the squirrels because the squirrels aren't worried. The squirrels aren't worried. They'll figure it out. You know, they know they're protected by God. They don't wake up every morning going, oh, shoot, I don't have enough money for breakfast. Where am I going to go get breakfast? Oh, shoot, that squirrel said a mean thing to me, or oh, I'm gonna lose my job. Squirrels are just like, every day, I know there's nuts out there, I just gotta go find them. You know, treat and move your feet. I know there are nuts out there. I'm not gonna sit there and wait for the nuts to fall into my lap. I'm gonna go out there and get the nuts. I know there's shelter for me, I go find it. We don't have to worry about the birds and the squirrels. And in the same way, we do not have to worry about ourselves. But we do. Because we're human. And that's where the lean on me comes. That's where the be vulnerable comes. Don't try to tough it out and be that tough guy, you know. And, oh, I can handle this. I don't need to tell anybody. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. You don't have to do it yourself because it's all the same I. Call a friend, accept that offer that people extend. Okay, there's a quote by Sri Aurobindo. I love this quote. Not only to see and find the divine in oneself, but to see and find the divine in all. not only to see one's own individual liberation and perfection, not only to seek one's own individual liberation and perfection, but to seek the liberation and perfection of others is the complete law of the spiritual being. In science of mind, we talk about law all the time, right? It's love and it's law. So when we're not worrying about ourselves, not worrying about other people, that's not meaning that we're not compassionate, that we're not caring, that we're not working to help others be their best and see their best. The Upanishads say that to find that all we need in our lives is three relationships. Hopefully we have many more than three relationships, but all we need is three good relationships: a good mother, a good father, and an inspiring teacher. Now, that doesn't mean literally, because not all of us have a good mother that we're born to or a good father that we're born to, right? There are father figures, there are mother figures, there are, you know, sisters who act as big sisters who can be the mother. A mother, to me, is anyone who cares for you. You know, being that mothering, caring, concerned individual. We don't stop needing our mother. Even when our mother goes and we're old, when we're the mother, we still need a mother. So who can we call on? Holy Mother, Mary, whoever. God doesn't have any gender. Same thing with the father, the good father. Dad, you know, I don't know where you are, but I need help. I'm being vulnerable right now. I'm on my knees praying for your guidance. And the inspiring teacher we find everywhere, everywhere. It's the person who checks us out at the grocery store. It's this older lady at the mall who, when I was struggling with two little babies and feeling like, this is too much. How did I get into this situation? And they're screaming and the diaper's dirty. And I'm thinking, oh, how am I going to get into the car? And she comes up to me. She says, enjoy this time. It goes really fast. And at the time I was thinking, no, it doesn't. It's taking forever. But I look back and I'm like, oh man, that went fast. That went so fast. She was a teacher, being a teacher to me right then. You know, somebody just opening my eyes to be like, be grateful. It's okay. It's okay. It's everything's fine. I saw this movie on Netflix. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's called The Swimmers. Have you seen it? Anybody seen it? I totally recommend this movie. This is amazing. It's about these two sisters. They're Syrian refugees. They have to flee from Syria, and they're trying to get to Berlin, where they have some program set up. This is a true story. They have some program set up where they can do like family reunification. So they think that if they can just get to Berlin, then they can go through the government process and bring over their mom, their dad, and their little sister. And these girls, one's 17 and one's 19, something like that. And the younger one, she dreams of being on the Olympic team, dreams of it. Her dad was an Olympic athlete. Her dad didn't have any sons, had three daughters. She's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fulfill the dream. I'm going to be the Olympic athlete. So all kinds of things happen on their journey. As you can imagine, it was treacherous journey to try to flee and go across like in a little inflated boat. And what's interesting is they felt like they were all alone. The two of them had each other, and that's like all they had, because when you're on this journey, you have to drop everything. You can't be carrying stuff on this journey. You have to just take the bare minimum, especially when they're in that little boat and they're starting to sink. They're like throwing stuff. She's throwing her swim medals into the ocean because none of it matters anymore. It's like life or death. But this whole boat full of people from different countries, different religions, different political perspectives, different races, different whatever, they became a family right then and there, and they started looking out for each other. And they decided when they hit land that they were going to stick together no matter what, because they'd be safer together. That's how fast we can form these bonded, lasting relationships and how much they can mean. They can literally save our lives. I'm so grateful for this community, and I know a lot of us have known each other for years and years and years and years. But have we really been vulnerable with each other? Do we really know each other? So today, Bill and I had this idea. After service, we're going to do a coffee circle. We're going to move the chairs in a circle, and we're just going to talk. And I'm going to take us back a little bit to when we were little kids, and we're going to pretend like we're 10 years old, and we're going to be really honest, like we were 10 years old. And I promise you, it's going to be fun. Nobody's going to cry. I'm not going to be Oprah trying to make you cry. Being vulnerable just means being honest and open. So we're going to do that. So anybody who wants to stay, please do. Okay, and I'm just going to end on this quick little story about how we learn to be vulnerable. So there was this guy in India, little old man. He wanted to be a sadhu so bad, a spiritual seeker. So all along the way, he left his stuff behind, and he was really getting good. And finally, all he had in his possession was a loincloth. He slept under the stars. He had no one to answer to. All he had was a loincloth. And he would wash it at night and put it on the line to dry, go to sleep, and in the morning put it back on and pray and meditate and serve and all his stuff that a sadhu does. But then this little mouse started eating his loincloth. And he's like, I have to have a loincloth. What am I going to do about this mouse? So everybody told him, well, all you have to do is get a cat, and then the mouse will go away. So he's like, okay, that makes sense. So I got a cat. So he got a cat. Cat comes and lives with him. Cat's hungry. Well, the cat needs milk. How am I going to get milk? Oh, I better get a cow. So then he got a cow. So then the cow gets hungry. Oh, I got to have a field. I got to have grass for the cow to eat. How am I going to have that? So then he gets a field. Then it's like, I can't take care of this all by myself. This is so much work. So then he has to get a helper. So then he gets a helper. And this went on and on and on, getting more, accumulating, more, accumulating, more, accumulating. Till finally he's got a house and a wife and kids and a job and the wardrobe of loincloths and all this stuff going on. And his guru comes back to him and goes, whoa, what happened? And he goes, it was all for the sake of a loincloth. So, you know, you have to undo everything we did. So let's not be like that. Vivekananda says, life is not a schoolhouse. Life is a circus ring. We need to experience it. We need to be all in. So come play, have fun with us in our circus ring, the coffee circle. Oh, yeah, and Swami Sarvadevananda is coming this afternoon at 4:30. He is my spiritual teacher. He is the most wonderful, open-hearted, generous, wise person you'll ever want to meet. And so we're going to be back here at 4:30 to have fun with him. And I'm bringing samosas, and we'll have chai, and we're going to have cake. It's going to be great. Okay? All right. Yay. Thank you.